Hello and welcome to the Even Me podcast. This is More Speaks.
And your girl, Kim.
All right. Today, we will be talking about when things are falling apart. Are they falling into place? So go ahead, Kim. Lead us on this. Where did this topic come from?
Well, this topic came from personal issues with myself, or personal things happening. Basically, people leaving your life and you're like, why this person leaving? Why my family members abandoned me? Why this dude is abandoning me? Why my friends are not there for me? Well, my understanding from it now is sometimes, like Tyler Perry said, the rocket and it has the booster on. Some people are there to help boost you up and then they fall off or whatever. And then some people are just there, just, you know, and causing you no, what, how can I say it? They're not helpful. So they've been in your life and basically all you've seen is, you know, trouble, giving. You give so much. This little cartoon they had on Instagram last night I was looking at, and it has this little animated figure, and it shows him completely cleansed, right? Completely like the shade of white, right? And he goes to one friend and he touches that friend because the friend going through something, and then his hands and his arms start turning black. Then he goes to another friend. That friend leaves, right? He goes to another friend that's about to jump off a bridge, and he grabs him and hugs him. And then, you know, the top half of him start turning black. And then he goes to another friend and do the same thing, giving them the support. And his whole body turns black, right? And they leave for the friend that wasn't there. So when he gets home, he's down, he's out. He's thinking that, you know, I just gave myself to everybody. Nothing's going on with me. They're not there and they left my life. And I take that as you giving, you draining yourself, and to give to everybody, what is left for you? Who's left there for you? So some people, if we don't get rid of them, God get rid of them for us. Sometimes God let it hurt us so bad. Now he ain't gonna let it destroy you. He gonna allow it to hurt so bad that you decide to let that person go. Like a hot pot or a hot cup of coffee. You hold it onto it. It's so hot. You have to let it go. You have to get it out of your hand because it's burning you. So I'm understanding now with all the people leaving my life that I thought I needed, they didn't help me get where I need to get right now. So they was really hindering my future. But I known them. They was familiar. They family. They friends. They, you know, always been there. But where have they helped me at? And that's what in this season I had to see. You know, it hurt. Like, I'm telling you, I bawled my eyes out. Who don't want to be with their family? Who don't want to, you know, be with this dude you're familiar with? Who don't want their friends? But God says sometimes, hey, they only there for a season. You're there to help them. Some people are there in your life to help you at a point, to either help you grow, to learn to get to the next level, or they stepping stones. They stepping stones to get you to your next life. And that's where it comes from me. I never thought that. I never like seen it. And then when you look over my past, I'm like, dang, you know, while this person was in my life, it was just, I was being drained. It was like they was a vampire. And I never got, they drained me, literally drained me. And the devil uses anger because that's his playground. When you get mad, say you get mad at an ex. Oh, I got her. You know, let me use this. I'm finna mess with her mind, mess with her heart, mess with her, you know, self-esteem, mess with it. He loves that, to build walls in your life. And so I'm learning that everything I thought I needed people to do, with God's help, I did it by myself. Not one person did any of this. And I'm like, okay, God, I understand. It may sting a little bit, but somebody right around the corner that you bring in to help push me further, to help uplift me, or I'm there to help uplift them. We filling each other cup up, because I've been filling everybody cup and not refilling mine. So yeah, that's what we have to learn. These quiet season is not meant to punish us. It's meant to elevate us to our next level, because we can't go to the future dragging the past with us.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess I already went through that season, because like in the past, I can't remember if I ever mentioned this, but I did have a friend in the past that, hey, what the heck happened? My bad, I'm in the dark. But yeah, so I did have a friend in the past that we would go out, we would go do things, and you know. But I didn't know, you know, he was a pothead, for one. Mm-hmm. You know, so I knew him from work. He used to work with us. But there was times that, you know, he would just reach out and be like, and I thought he was just trying to be cool. You know, we were cool at work. You know, we worked in the same department, so we were cool. But he would reach out and be like, hey, Anthony, let's go hang out, you know. And so we went to a couple of house parties, which was cool. And then we went to some like bars and stuff like that, or went to go see UFC fights at like a wing place or something. But I realized that there was like a backstory to some of it, because he was doing that to basically, on another weekend, he would tell his wife he's doing the same thing, but he was actually like going to hang out or going to go smoke weed with some friends, or you know, going to do something else that, you know, didn't involve me, because I didn't partake in any of that, you know. So but I ended up finding out later that, you know, there was somebody at work that hung out with him, and mm-hmm. that's what they were gonna go do, you know. So it was kind of, or he would go mess around or something like that. But you know, I came to find out, like, you know, my eyes got open after a while when I heard, you know, the story, how, you know, he was basically gonna go do something else. Mm-hmm. You know, and not go hang out, you know, or smoke weed, or go, you know, mess around or fuck around with another woman or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just distanced myself from him, because I wasn't, at that time, I wasn't part of that crowd. I wasn't a weed smoker. I wasn't, you know, looking to go do that kind of stuff. So it didn't pertain to me. So I just stayed away. But other than that, I mean, I believe all the people that needed to leave my life has left my life, you know. And mm-hmm. you know, back in the day, you know, you have the black book full of people, and you would just, you know, dial them up on certain days and things oh. like that. So you said, "Oop,
ooh, ah, no."
But I mean, you're always gonna have that friend. There's always gonna be the friend that's there for a certain reason. And you know, you have that one friend that leans on you for advice. You have that mm-hmm. one friend that leans on you for money. You have the one friend that, you know, just looks for companionship. You know, sometimes they're not really looking to, you know, get money from you or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They just like someone to be around. Like, they're lonely at home, so they just like someone to be around, which I'm cool with that, you know. But you can only give that person so much of your time before you have to go to your real life, you know. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, there's, when things start to fall apart, you know, are they falling into place for something else? Like, is mm-hmm. God setting you up for the right. next chapter? You know, I know if I would have kept hanging around with that dude, eventually, you know, I would have started smoking weed at that mm-hmm. time. And you know, I had a job, you know, I know he had a job too, because he worked with me. But you know, some people don't care, you know. And I was gonna get back into the field, and the difference between when I was working inside the office and working in the field is, in the field, you're, you know, tested more often, and if something happens, you know, at that time I was just a technician, I wasn't a supervisor. So you know, any if I back then, if you twisted your ankle, you got stung by a bee, you know, anything would prompt, you know, a drug test. You know, now it's a little bit different, but I knew that God was moving people out of the way, moving that mountain out of the way, so I can see clear and move through. Because I can tell you now, you know, on a handful, how many people I would really hang around with, you know, and I like what, you know, Joe Osteen said, you know, if you want to flock with people, you want to flock with people who's going to move you forward. Mm-hmm. You know, like they say, birds of a feather fly together, yeah. You know, so you want to be, if I want to become a manager, I'm going to hang around with people that are managers. If I want to become a drug dealer, I'm going to hang around with drug dealers. You know, it's just, and if I want to, if I'm an alcoholic or if I like to drink a lot, I'm going to hang with people that drink a lot, because guess what? Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to drink, they're going to have free beer, they're going to buy beer, or you're going to buy beer, and you know, it's just going to go on. So, I mean, it's true. You know, you got to flock to where, like, your next position, just like if you're looking for a job right now, you know, you're going to go shadow somebody, you're going to go see somebody, you're going to talk to somebody, you're going to do it, you know, some people around that department and people in that department, so you can kind of learn what you're going to do and who you're working with. Because if I'm trying to sell, you know, let's say if I'm trying to sell purses, I'm going to hang around with somebody that sells purses, or somebody, you know, who's, you know, into manufacturing purses. I'm not going to go to a flea market for someone who sells purses, because they're just buying it from a third party. So you want to go to, like, the main source. So, I mean, I guess that's a dumb analogy, but
no, it's good.
You want to be where you're trying to get to, basically.
Yes. And that's the thing. This is the thing also I've learned. I was listening, because sometimes you have to get out of your own little mental space and start listening and going to different avenues and learning different things. And this is the one saying, I definitely have to say it. You know, J. Cole said it the best. It rains the hardest on people that, what is it? It rains the hardest on people who deserves the sun. Man, that is so true. Sometimes listening to rap songs, they have profound messages. You just have to catch it between the booty shaking and the club and the drugs. You got to catch the meeting, you know. I'm like, okay, I don't know. Am I supposed to drop it low, or you know, what I'm supposed to do? But yeah, sometimes you have to sometimes you have to listen to the message, and some messages in there, when you hear the song thoroughly, you know, throughout its entirely, you hear some good messages. And that was like, damn, that was deep. Because you can go through so much. And this is the thing where people don't understand, you know, like, God is, he gives his biggest challenges to his strongest soldiers. We don't realize that. I'm like, God, I'm not strong. You know, and these little advertisement or these little memes they make on TikTok, and the guys are calling God and saying, hey, I'm not strong, take me out of this war. You know, it's a little joke. Yeah. But that's you learning that God gives his, you know, strongest soldiers the toughest test. And it's hard to withstand it, because you don't know. Sometimes it'll come a little and a little here and a little here. But then when you have that Job season, like, you wake up and you take a deep breath, boom, something hit, boom, something. The children, your child acting up, he going to jail, you know, you got your husband or your wife, they tripping. You got people on your job tripping. You got everything is just personally attacking you, your health, everything. That's when God's getting you ready and say, hey, I know what I have in store for you. I'm allowing this to happen to you because I know you got more in you. You got more that of me that I want to see to come out of this. And that's like the Job season. Because I tell everybody, you know, my beautician said it 2 weeks ago. No, it was last week. And she had another girl sitting in a chair, and the girl didn't know anything about my life. You know, you learn when you in a nail shop or whatever. And she said, the
we
girl
call that shop top.
Yes, but at least it's not booty shaking, but not anymore. So she said, man, I couldn't deal with it. These, you know, parents going through all this and I don't have any kids. I couldn't take it and da, 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 I don't see how. I said, you know what? That's the point right there. Not trying to knock you. You don't see how that because you haven't experienced it and you're still young, but just so. When you get to that point and you give birth to a child or have a child, you're going to go through everything under the sun that you won't imagine. If you don't go through it, it's a blessing. Mm. But you're going to go through everything under the sun. And so people ask me, how do you manage? How do you, you know, make it through a day? You got one, you know, locked up, one is dead. And how do you... And it's hard. There'll be days I'll be in the bed and I'll just like, I want to hear that voice. You know, you want to hear, who do you want to hear? Because those two, they're going to get, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to talk. We're going to debate. We're going to do whatever. But one of them I can't hear every day. I can hear every so often for 15 minutes. Another one I can't hear ever again unless I put on a Facebook post that he had to just hear his voice so I don't forget what he sounds like. And it's hard because on Monday, I went through his stuff again and found one of his shirts. And I needed that hug. That's a hug for me. His shirt covering me, that's him hugging me because he was that hugger or kisser. And it was like, dang God, why did I have to go through all this in 2.5 years? I mean, you did not give me a break. It rained constantly and I didn't breathe. But what he wanted me to see is Kim. The whole time it was raining, I was carrying you. You were strong. You was able to get up. Yes, you struggled, but you didn't give up. You gave out, but you didn't give up. And that's the key. You gonna give out because it's a race that you can't, after any race of anybody running hard as they can, what they doing?
that's for air.
Yes. So that every day I have to get up and put my big girl shoes on and be like, you know what, God, I know you got me. I know this is only a test to make me stronger. I know to explain to another parent that it ever goes away, but you'll be able to cope and grow through it. And it's a hard thing. So I had a loss of relationship, lost my mind, I lost the son, had another son to have a heart surgery again, had another son to go to jail. And I'm like, okay, God. And then I'm sitting here just in a whirlwind, just like Dorothy and Toto, me and my little Frenchie, just, you know, swimming around in this tornado. And I'm sitting here, instead of me study complaining to God, now I got to the point, thank you, God. I'm still here. Even though it don't look good, and Marvin Sapp said it the best. Everybody that say something negative, I don't know how, this happened. I had one person said, my son was dead because of me. Because I was mean to people. So that's the reason he died. Because I was getting, what is it? What does they call it? Karma. And I never was mean because I was mean to that person. I was mean to you. And why was I mean to you? It wasn't really mean because it was like me stepping away from you and shutting up. But God doesn't do any of that. So when they sit there and say that, oh, I don't know how you do this, da, da, da. No, I like how Mom and Seth said, you know, God got this table. This is my table. He's sitting there and preparing it for me. Everybody that got something negative say, oh, look at her attitude. Oh, she crying all the time. Oh my God, she this. Every negative thing you see in God just preparing that table. So in the what do you say? I'm preparing the table in the presence of your enemies. So all I'm gonna do is now is sit back and be like, yeah, God, you got it. I'm not gonna complain because it's only for my good. It may not feel good.
Let God, how's it going?
Let go and let God.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, hands up. Okay, I mean, today I even got angry about another family member because it was doing something that cost me money, and then I had to breathe and say, you know what, okay, I'm just gonna let this go because That's what they want to do. And that's how Satan builds up walls. So you won't have everything that causes you an issue, you build up a wall. Every trauma you go through, you build up a wall. I can't trust people. I don't trust them. I don't trust this. Oh, you're gonna do me this way. And those are the walls that I build up. God said, no, I didn't allow these things to happen for you to build up walls. I allowed them to build, you know, these tests to happen so you can have a testimony to tell other single mothers who went through it, mothers who lost their kids to gun violence, mothers who have sons and daughters in prison, you know, kid, women that's out here right now with no family member. And we're going to have to bring this one. This is my adopted daughter on the podcast. I took this girl in. She was 16 years old on the street, 15, 16. And all she knew was being trafficking for prostitution. And she ended up making 18. I pulled her out of it, tried to show her a better life. She ran back, but I still was there anytime she needed to talk or call me, right? She's 18 years old. She got caught in a car with somebody that didn't take that charge and said it was hers and with drug trafficking. And she's an illegal immigrant from Morocco. She did. They gave her a 10-year sentence. I said, her family disowned her, right? So she didn't have nobody. I was the only person. She started calling me mom. I went to see her every time I can. So then when they gave her parole, they brought her back to ICE. I was sitting at Comcast working in dispatch. And I got the phone call. Mom, they got me in ICE. They're trying to deport me. If I tell you, if I prayed that hard for somebody else that wasn't my child, wasn't blood related, I know I can pray for myself just as hard. But go back to, she always thanked me for something that I'm like, that's what God wanted me to do. But I lost myself when it came to my own kids. I was just crying and everything. But going back to her story, she was in ICE. They was finna deport her. Her mom and grandmother wouldn't give me no paperwork on her. Anything. They said, we don't have nothing to do with her. She's saying she Baptist and she really Muslim and she got tattoos. She's no longer our family member. So she was in there 2 months. I went every day to see her. So by the time the trial came, I wrote letters. I went to see immigration lawyer. And one lawyer, I really want to throw this table in his face right now, but God, I ain't going to do it. He told me, oh no, she had a drug case. Oh, I can take your money, but she's going to get deported anyway. Gave me his card, told me, go ahead and call. She need representation anyway, but they're going to deport her anyway. So they're going to just take her back to Morocco and drop her off and leave her there and whatever. But yeah, that's what she, you know, she being an illegal immigrant, I'm going to charge you $4,000. I took his card that he gave me, walked out the door and flicked it. It was like, forget you. I wrote a letter to the judge and said, look, this girl, I love her like she's mine, like I gave birth to her. I know she can do better. I know she'll be best. She just need to be led in that way. I've been trying to do it, and it's an unfortunate incident that she was in a car with somebody. I said, I take full responsibility for her if she come home. She's living with me if she comes. And I said, I pray that you have it in your heart to give her a chance in our country to see how she can, all the heartbreaks she had, all the trauma she had, give her a chance here. And, you know, she was going to go back to Morocco. They're going to kill her anyway because she didn't wear the veil or whatever. If I tell you, I went to court, sat there, and the lady came out and said, oh, you can go ahead and go. The court is over. I said, wait a minute. They told me to be here for 1 o'clock. I took off work again to come. And I'm trying to see the judge. I'm trying to, you know, be in court. So she said, I'm not supposed to tell you. She walked me to the door. She said, for your letter, the judge read your letter in the court. And he decided to, you know, let her stay in the country. I walked out the door, was crying, started raining. I seen them walking her back and I screamed at her, babe, they keep me. She's like, yes, mama. That's what God does. God wants us to lean on him. And when we leaning on people, which is my problem, leaning on people thinking they're going to have me, we are sadly disappointed. And this girl today is 31 years old, married to a man that loves her, have a house, have a job, She went from prostitution to being a married woman with a hook, with just, you know, and in church. And it's just like, she was like, I can't do nothing but thank you. I was like, nah, thank God. That's it. But when it came to my own self, I was so caught up, like, how this gonna happen to me, God? I'm praying on you. Yeah, I'm praying to you. I'm going to church. I pay my tithes. How are you gonna allow this to happen to me? It's like, I'm not done with you yet. And that's what I had to figure out these last couple of weeks. I may go through it. I just have to breathe and push through it. It's like going through labor pains. What you do? You can't stop when the baby coming, right? You done been there before, seen it. You can't stop. You gonna have to just and take the
time. No matter what.
Yeah, you got to push through it. You got to push through the pain. And it does hurt. And you want to be angry. And you, I ain't going to never say not be angry. Because I'll be angry. Maybe cussing or whatever. But I know who to go back to. And I know the source. So, yeah, it's just, we're going to be tested. And that's God's way of saying, I'm going to get a testimony out of this test that you're going through.
Yeah, so I was listening. And I was going to say, and we've said this before, God is going to test you and put you through things that he knows you're able to get through. But the other side of that, what makes you mad, that's actually the devil, you know, working against you. The more, and this is 100% true, and I've heard it many times, the more faith you have, the more the devil works on you, because he knows that the ones that are easier to break are the ones that are in the faith more than people of, you know, normal world, because the faithful Christians, faithful Baptists, faithful, you know, Catholic people, they're easily broken just because they feel like most, let's put it this way, most feel like they shouldn't go through certain things because they have God behind them. But that's just trials and tribulations that God puts in the way to help you, you know, make you stronger, help you push through, you know. But then it's also the devil as well doing it. His, you know, the death of the child, you know, you know, things that happen to good people. Like you said, you know, some people, you know, like J. Cole said, you know, it rains on people that need the sun. Which that's true. You know, you can find all these, you know, stories within stories, you know, within rap music, within any music. You know, there's always going to be a trial to make you, you know, stronger, so you can push through. And then you come out through your tribulation, you know, you come out through the fork in the road, and you're on the other side. Like, let's say, you know, you have all these problems and you put it on the table, and guess what? God is going to, you know, help you and guide you and give you, he's going to take you to the water. He's not going to show you how to drink it, but he's going to make sure that you endure, you know, to push through, and then, you know, make it to the other side of the pond or something like that, or the other side of the river. You know, so like that, you know, that's your, you know, at that point you feel like you've, you know, lost all the, you know, the hatred, the you know, the dislike, the issues, the problems, the stress. You know, once you get to the other side, you know in your heart, hey, I feel a certain way. I've lost all these people for a certain reason, because they wasn't helping me. You know, God is the only one that can help you. I mean, yes, you can get a counselor. Yes, you can get people in your life that's going to help you push and get you to the other side. But if you don't do it yourself, if you don't, you know, get through it like you're supposed to, you know, on your own, you're never going to learn. You're basically going to continue to you know, to fall short, you know, in life and not reach that goal that you're trying to, which, you know, the ultimate goal is, you know, to make it to heaven, you know, make it, you know, to your significant others, your, you know, your siblings, your, you know, all the people that's already in heaven and things like that. So
yeah. And I started to see it in people, associates that I had. We never like was like friends, but we was, you know, talk, whatever, and on occasion. So, you know, Toya being her story, this other lady, I met her at church, and she told me how strong I was because I went through the stuff, and you know, and she felt like I came out, you know, not smelling like smoke, but I send myself right back in the pit. But I'm so proud of her. She, you know, her husband left and they separated and she got her business going. I mean, sometimes God had to remove people to get us to do what he wants us to do, because we would never do it if we were around them people or we with those people. And I hate, I ain't gonna say hate, that's a strong word. I dislike a lot of people. I don't want to talk with you. You tell too much of your business. You tell the, no, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed because God put me through it. So somebody else probably be going through the same thing. And I'm over here, I'm old Christian and Dell, and I'm giving myself to God and nothing ever happened. Nah, no, bull crap happened. I stumbled and failed. I done went back to a particular dude. I done probably cussed out of quite a few people because I done build up walls and act like a little crazy maniac or whatever. Because holding it in doesn't benefit anybody. It doesn't definitely benefit you. All it does is make you angry. So when I tell my story, I got yesterday at the nail shop, I told a lady, and she going through it. Yeah, I've been there. I understand. But when you don't get angry anymore, that person gonna remove from you and you ain't gonna even feel it because you don't feel the anger. You don't give them that energy. Now, yep. When you stop giving them that energy, that it smooths away. It's like a calming of the sea. And to me, and like I told her, I'm not telling nobody to leave their man. But if he doing that, and then you talking to me about it, it's causing you some stress, baby.
Yeah. If you have to talk about it or it's causing you some type of issues, you know, you probably need to leave it alone. Just like we said, you know, in the previous couple of podcasts, you know, need to make sure that you drop whatever is causing you that issue. What did your daughter say?
Induced stress.
So, you know, you don't look to a relationship for someone to cause you problems. You look for someone to your other half, like they say, you know, the better half. You know, mm-hmm. If you have an issue doing something, that person should be the one that you know helps with that issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I can't stand you. But I've been on this, like, you know, a couple of weeks back how I was feeling like I want somebody there for me because I'm always there for that person. But those are not the people for me. God said, let it go. And right around the corner, I have some for you. Just you got to let it go.
When you look for something, you may not find what you're looking for. You may find the opposite of what you would really want. And it's because you're trying to fill that gap that you have. And it's going to be something that you really don't want. It's like, you know, you've seen like these movies and you know, I guess I'm getting too old because I'm doing a lot of analogies. If you've seen like these movies, right? Like they're looking for their spirit, or they're looking for like a lost spirit or something, and they do the freaking Ouija board or whatever, right? I think I just seen a movie like that. And typically what happens is you don't find that person you're looking for. You find like another, you know, ghost or another person that's going to haunt you, which is basically like in real life, because if you're looking for something, you know, God is going to put that person in your life. Like God put Janelle in my life, you know, and we move forward. I wasn't looking for somebody, you know, same as you, you know, everyone. You know, if you go looking for things, you're going to find something. Just like when you go looking through your man's phone, you're going to find something, you know, or you know, your woman, you know, whatever, you know, starts looking through stuff, or you start looking through stuff, you're going to find something, and you might take something out of context and it just becomes, you know, something out of left field, and it's going to just make the situation worse, because you don't want to get back into an old relationship because you know what was there. You know, it's not going to change. And then you don't want to find something new from someone who's broken, you know, because now you got that wounded duck, that broken duck, you know, that's coming back into your life. You know, maybe it's not the same person, but it's something similar. They're going to have similar issues that's going to, you know, tend to affect your life, and you're not going to be able to move forward like you're supposed to.
And people don't understand. Your past builds patterns. So what you used to in the past, and this is, oh, I'm used to tall, dark, and handsome, or oh, I like my guy to be cut, or oh, I like the mustache, I like this. What you used to in your history builds patterns in your past. Did you marry that person? Are y'all living a long half? No, you're not. So you're looking for superficial things in a person instead of looking for the real thing. And then a lot of time people give up. You know, you be with a person for a certain period of time. Oh, this is not working. I got people now that I listen to that. Oh, my relationship. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Relationships are like seasons. God damn it. Winter come, but it don't stay. That's just like problems come in a relationship. You bundle up, you prepare for it, and go through it. I so want to say that to people. Damn it. You got somebody that comes home every day, bringing their check home. Yeah, they be stressed. They, you know, don't want to hear what you're talking about. At that time, that may be that person's moment to digress, you know, or whatever they need to do. You know, they missing somebody. They going through their own mental struggles, but you always me. That person has their season too. So like the four seasons we have to, you know, expect it, like my pastor said, prepare for it and deal with it. You know, you have to go through it. Summer, we know, hey, we ain't wearing no winter coat. In Texas weather, definitely not in the middle of summer. You have to prepare for each thing because your relationship is going to go through this. And it's just to teach you to be a better spouse so you can teach somebody else. You don't know. Like The War Room. That movie is, to me, that's a classic. Because it's teaching, you're fighting the person instead of fighting the devil with God's word. You got to fight that. So I don't know. It's just me going through it. And I have my slip ups. I might fight everybody tomorrow. I might cuss out everybody tomorrow. On Monday, I may come back and be okay. But I know that's me and I'm still working with me. But I don't want nobody to judge me based on what I'm going through now. Because I'm going through. I'm still working. It's like churning the butter. You know, they churning it. It's, God has to get me right. It's still a lot of lumps in there. It's still a lot of, you know, it's not perfect like that. What's that little thing used to talk? Peak parquet? But remember the buddy used to talk when we was a kid? You remember? Oh my God. The butter used to talk in the commercials. But anyway, I feel like I'm that butter that I'm supposed to be, all sweet and nice and, you know, smooth. But God still got a lot because you have to understand my past to understand my present, to understand where I'm going in my future. I have to understand my future. I got to get out of my past, deal with my present, to get into my future. So when you say I did something, that's my past still dealing with me. So you're judging me based on that. Understand that, yeah, I've been through a lot. Sometimes I may withhold stuff and it'll build up and then just tears just come flowing out because I don't know how to express it. I don't know what to do. It comes out the wrong way. That's why I'm back in therapy. I know I needed it. But don't judge me based on God churning me. He's getting me right. He's getting me, okay, I got to get rid of this past. I got to get past this past. I got to deal with what's going on in the present. But I also have to push toward the future because everything from the past and present that I don't have to leave behind. Yeah, I may cuss you out yesterday. At that time, it was the present. It's my past. I'm moving to the future. I know, okay, well, when I get angry, I need to walk away from you. I need to just shut the hell up because I know that's a trigger for me. But people judge you and think that you're crazy. Now, there are some crazy people. Don't get me wrong, there are, but I know I'm a work in progress, and me working is getting out all the paths. I've been dragging these rocks. That's why my back is so bad. I've been dragging these bricks around with me for years. Dragging them. It's time to let them go and be done. Because my son, the one that died, he said, and I have to live up to this because he told me this. He said, Mom, it was a week before he died. He said, Mom, you only got 2 kids left that you are responsible for. You're not responsible for anybody else, not even us grown ones. He said, fuck everybody else. Worry about them and worry about you. I ain't saying be selfish, but I got to fill my cup. I got to make sure I have a half a cup. I don't want to be 1/3. I at least want to be a half. Because if I'm not good enough for myself. I'm not good enough for anybody else. Definitely not good enough for my kids. So I'm giving it out. I'm giving it and I'm giving it away. So if you judge me by fixing me, 2 up. I'm sorry. Because that's what people do. They judge you. And then most people judge you as people that didn't change their life like they never went through anything. And they so holy than thou. Yeah, I'm a Christian. But I can't say that I'm holy than thou because I still mess up. Nobody's perfect. But I'm not going to judge the next person because she's out there prostituting. I may never prostitute it. But if I was out there giving it up to me, it was the same thing, right? You know, I'm just not on the street of bissonette. But somebody paying the bill, yeah, I'm prostitution. Yeah, I'm doing some kind of prostitution. Or, you know, you out there with everybody trying to get some a light bill paid. I don't know. But
the only one that should be judging should be God.
That is it. A lot of people judge each other.
No one else should be judging because they live in a glass house. You know, they probably went through something. Now they're holy, supposedly. You know, you can't just because you went through it. Let's say you know such and such was a prostitute. They're past that. They've made it through. They found God, but you can't judge the next person because you went through the same thing. What if you know someone judged you while you were going through your season during that time? You know, so
yeah,
that's it's you shouldn't judge anybody. You know, even though I'm an asshole, I know that, you know, I'm a jokester. So, you know, I do go through my things. But then I realize, you know, I shouldn't because, you know, the only person should be judging anybody should be God. Because he's the only one that is 100% holy, 100% sin free because he died for us, you know. So,
yeah, I mean,
Jesus died for us.
Yeah. Sorry. And that's the thing. I'm not going to judge anybody that drink. They, you know, some people got to get it together. And right now they using it to cope with whatever they're going through. It's just, you know, fortunately for me, I didn't go to drinking or drugs. You know what I'm saying? I went to seclusion. That's what I went to. And that's just as bad as drugs or drinking.
Well, I would beg to differ on that.
Really?
Just because... Yes, really, because the drinking is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know, you may go through like a certain time that you feel a certain way and you want to drink. But, you know, the mentality of your mind should be like, OK, I'm getting past this. OK, I'll drink something, you know, and this will get me over. Mm-hmm. You know, alcoholics or people that abuse these kind of things. They treat it as it never goes away. You know, you're supposed to move on from it. Mm-hmm. So if you, you know, keep and you stay in this mentality of, oh, such and such did this, such and such did that. My wife left me. My son died. My daughter dislikes me or something like that. If you stay with that, you're going to stay like that and you're going to continue. It's never going to go away. You know, you got to find a way. Either you're going to find God, or you're going to find a counselor to get you past that. So, I mean, I don't want to say that drinking is a vice to get through something, you know, or drugs. But yes, you know, most people have to find something to move forward. Even loneliness is an issue, you know, and you got to find that right person, that that right family member or that counselor, or, you know, find God and get past it, because you don't want to stay there, you know, lonely forever. You don't want to stay drinking forever. You don't want to stay, you know, abusing, you know, substances forever.
Yeah. And see, the thing of it is with I'm starting to learn, most people, I'm going to just say most people with, you know, drinking alcohol or doing drugs, they want to change. It's most, not all now, not all. Because you got the ones who take their anger out and abuse people with it. Mm-hmm. And you got the ones who just self-medicate and they just seclude to themselves because they trying to work it out. But what avenue do I take? This is like very, you know, hurtful, you know, it's taking me down. So they have to actually get into the self-motivation to let me go get this help. I know I need it. I know I need it. But the self-medication is like, I'm going to deal with myself. I'm going to seclude to myself. But when other ones, other alcoholics, they abuse everybody else around them, or one particular person get abused, because I think, to me, those abusers that use alcohol or drugs and then go out, you know, I turn beat Tina, and, you know, and you know, with alcohol, they be abused too. But I think that they're the devil, and they see God. God got something in you, and they want to break you so much because they are broken. They're using, this is why I did it. Oh, I don't remember what I did. I was drunk, or I was high. And I can honestly say my first husband, he was, you know, he started off, he's older, way older than me. At 18, he was selling drugs. He was a part of the Crips in Tookie Williams in California. That's where he ran off to when he graduated high school. And he was a part of all that crowd. Then end up what most drug dealers in the 70s did. They started taking their own supply, right? No. So he became a drug head. Hang on, what is, you know, he did drugs. So when he got with me, when he would get mad and he'd be coming off the drugs, I would get abused because I was there. You know what I'm saying? Now, do I hate him? No. You know, because I had to forgive. And we are cool. We're the best of friends right now. You know what I'm saying? He's married again. He's clean. He's the deacon of the church. And he always apologized. And I'm like, that's, you have to, you know, go to grips with God. I forgive. At first, I couldn't. I talked so bad about him because I was that young girl looking for, you know, somebody to uplift me. I had a car, I had a house, I had money or whatever. But I don't have that hatred. I can't keep that hatred long. And that's sometimes I say about me, I hate it because I can't keep it long. I can stay away from you, not ever talk to you, but I can't be mad. Because it's like, God, you know, I know you give me grace. The stuff I done to people that I know I didn't deserve forgiveness, but God, they may never forgave me, but you did. So I don't try to stay mad, but what I do is end up letting people back in. And, well, just one person, but the wrong way. And because I feel bad that they going through a sickness or something like that, not letting them back in with me, but feeling bad for them because they're going through something. And I can't do that because they're putting themselves through that. It's just that, you know, with people, I thank God. I thank him so much. I don't have that addictive spirit. And I also thank my dad. He never smoked a cigarette, never drank, nothing. He doesn't do anything. And I think that I got that from him, not an addictive spirit. Now, I've drank, you know, every once in a while, but I don't have to have it. So I just secluded myself, became lonely, took, you know, got away from people. And that is the biggest drug ever, because when you come out of seclusion, you don't know how to deal with people. Then you start clinging to the wrong people, like you, that's your teddy bear or whatever, because you don't know what to do. So that's the big, you know, that's a big issue, but people don't understand it, you know. But when you mix, you know, drugs or alcohol with loneliness, so you mixing this, it's even worse for that person. You don't know what that person go through when they walk in their house every night, or are they in the car by themselves? Because I know it was many days that just from loneliness, I was like, God, just end it all. I can't take this. Just whatever you do, I'm not going to do it. But I'm waiting on you to do it. it was just that I was, because it was so much. And then I was like, yeah, I can't do this no more. I got two beautiful kids still love this under the age of 18. I love them to death. They doing great things. Now, my son, give me hell because he's going through. He don't know if you want to do the Nelly, whether band-aid under the eye, cut the eyebrow. I don't know what the hell I'm going through right now, but I want to choke his ass out. I love him. But they're not disrespectful kids. They're not bad kids. And I'm so appreciative. And I can say, that's me. I instilled it. My daughter in the orchestra, I put that in there. So I have so much more life to give and things to give to them. And God just let me go through it. I just have to sit back, because the devil would be like, if God was there for you, why are you going through this? Why are you going through that? Now, if the people went to the Red Sea, Moses them, and he parted the Red Sea, my stuff you can definitely do. If Job went all through what he went through and you blessed him 100 times over, man, I got it. You know, it don't feel good, but it will be good in the end. I just have to keep telling myself.
This too shall pass.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So we've come to the conclusion. Thank you, Kim, for talking so much today.
Really? Did I talk a lot today?
I'm kidding. All right. So be sure to check out our socials. Leave us a comment. Also be sure to check out our podcast on YouTube if you want to see the actual video, see how crazy Kim is. And it's on YouTube. You can find us on Even Me Podcast. Check us out. If not, just check our normal on Apple. What is it? Apple, Spotify. Google, Spotify. Yes. We're pretty much on all of them. So check us out. Leave us a comment. And we're out.